Galatians chapter 3, we're going verse by verse as we continue to have been doing in the book of Galatians. And we'll see starting in verse 6 of Galatians 3, four verses in the Bible as we continue to go through these verses, through this book. And this is all about faith. The title of this message would be The Blessing of Faith as Seen in Our Father Abraham, if we are children of faith as he was, a child of faith. And, you know, faith is something that is the opposite of doubt. Faith is something that is also the opposite of fear. Faith is something that is the opposite of anxiety. You know, if your life is filled with faith, it's filled with confidence. And again, that's not faith in you. That's not faith in your circumstances. That's not faith in what you can see. Because faith does not deal with things that you can see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith goes beyond what we can see with our eyes or touch with our hands or understand with our own minds. And the Bible shows us the importance of faith in our life. Of course, we can't even be saved without faith. But even beyond that, you can't even live with it. You know, the just shall live by faith. You can't really get through life without faith because everything in your life will just fall like a little stack of dominoes because it's not going to be held up. It's not going to be sustained. There has to be some other source to provide for you the comfort and the stability and the assurance that you need in your life, and that's beyond this world. That's not in this world. And we shouldn't have faith in man. We shouldn't have faith in ourselves, but you certainly can't have faith in God. And faith is confidence in God. And what I want to report to you this morning is that everything is designed in this world to get you not to have confidence in God. Everything in this world, especially in what's been going around us for the last little while, is to instill into you a fear, to instill into you a doubt, to instill into your heart an anxiety so that your mind and your heart is not resting in the Lord. That wonderful song that we sang, Blessed Assurance. And he says, perfect submission. And he says, all is at rest. How can it be at rest? Because I have assurance that God is going to take care of my life, that God is going to take care of my eternity. How can I have that blessed assurance? It's by faith. I choose to put faith in God. There is a blessing of faith, the blessing of faith. I don't think anybody would stand up and give a testimony of the blessings of fear. I don't think anybody would ever do that. Because fear paralyzes. It hurts you. Destroys you. It captivates you. It chains you. I don't think anybody would get up and give the blessings of doubt in their life. How doubt was such a blessing to them. Or anxiety. No, that's not the case. Our text before us shows the blessing of faith. And you say, well, maybe that was for somebody that's just a lot better person than I know. The whole point of this illustration to the Galatians is the Galatians have come to think that maybe they had to be a part of the Jewish economy, a special people, and so maybe they needed to proselyte in back into the Judaistic form because all they were was Gentiles. And the illustration given to them is the illustration of Abraham. And God's work in Abraham's life, Abraham was not a Jew. Now, God changed his name and changed his life, and he became the father of the nation of Israel. But Abraham was a Gentile. Abraham was a idolatrous heathen individual. In other words, you know who Abraham was like? Abraham was like you. Abraham's family did not believe in God. Abraham's family did not walk in the truth of God. But one day Abraham met God, and one day Abraham heard the voice of God, and Abraham responded to that God, and though he was a heathen, and though his life was really insignificant, he dared to trust God, and it became the great blessing for not just his life, but a blessing for countless others. Let's read it together. Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 6, let's start there. He says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Father, we pray you would bless the reading of your word to our hearts. And Lord, may we not just be hearers of the word, but believers of the word. And may we dare to trust you. May we dare to have the confidence in God that this heathen man had. And may we find that same blessing that he found in it. And we'll thank you for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the blessing of faith? You want a blessing? If you want a blessing today, believe God. There'll be a blessing in it. What is the first blessing of faith? Look at verse 6, our first verse. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. You know the first blessing of faith is? Faith's blessing is it gives you righteousness. Isn't that a blessing? It counts to you righteousness that you could not have. Look at that word, accounted. Did you see that? Do you have an accountant? Some of you have done your taxes, and maybe your taxes were so volatile or so difficult, you had to get an accountant to do your taxes. It means that you let somebody else count your money, and you let somebody else count your expenses, and you let somebody else count up what you owed to the government or count up what the government owed to you. And you trusted that person, hopefully, to do a good job in counting. You know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us that God counts some things too. But he doesn't count the way we count. It's God's math. What man would do, man would look at a person and say, well, that person is wicked, and this person right here, that's a good man. You know, sometimes God would look at the bad man and say, well, no, I count to him righteousness, and this good man over here, I count that this man is a sinner. God doesn't count like we count. You know how he counts? Listen, he counts based upon if there's faith in your heart. That's how he counts. And see, these Galatians were so tied up in impressing other people that were living by the law and thinking that circumcision counted and being a child of Abraham physically from the nation of Israel, that's what's counting with God, and that I'm a special person and that all my works line up the way they're supposed to line up with the law. And the Bible tells those people God doesn't count that way. God counts with you just like he counted with Abraham, and if he sees faith, he accounts to you righteousness. What a thing. That gives hope to people that aren't born in the best of families. That gives hope to people that cannot keep a law. That gives hope to people that know that the best they can do is not good enough. If I will put faith in God, if I will believe God, he will count to me righteousness. We have a world that doesn't even want to be righteous, which is why they go to hell. You know, God does not let sin into heaven. Matter of fact, even in the rapture, when God takes us, the living that are alive in the church that have been redeemed, and takes us up to heaven, he still won't let sin into his heaven. And he's going to make your flesh and blood fall out of your body before he lets you get to heaven. because he's not going to let what's part of you, what the sinful part of you, he's not going to let it into heaven either. Do you understand that? I've told people before, a lot of people, the reason they don't go to heaven, they don't want to go to heaven. It's a righteous place. It's not a sinful place. They wouldn't. Look, if you're not a child of God, if you've never been given the righteousness of God, you wouldn't have a good time in heaven. It's a righteous place. It's not an unholy place. The effect of righteousness, the Bible says, is peace. Hey, guys, listen. You know why we don't have peace in the world? We don't have peace in our country. People don't have peace in their families. People don't have peace in their hearts. You know why? The effect of righteousness is peace. You remove the righteousness, you don't have any peace at all. There's no peace to the wicked. You say, well, what do we do? We've got to do what Abraham did. We got to believe God because we're a bunch of heathens. We have no hope without him. Now, I want you to look at this little phrase. Don't change it. Don't change the Bible. You know, if you add a little too little word, it'll change the whole text. Don't change the Bible. Look at what the Bible says, verse 6 again. Even as Abraham, what's the next two words? You know, it didn't say, even as Abraham believed in God. You know, it didn't say that. It didn't say Abraham believed in God. It didn't say that at all. It said Abraham believed God. You know what that means? That means that God had said something to Abraham, and Abraham believed what God had said to him. He believed that God was not lying to him. He believed and said that, okay, God, if you said it, it's the truth. It's not that he believed that there was a God. It's not that he believed that there was a creator. He believed what God said to him. You know, people can believe in God and they'll never have the righteousness of God unless they believe what God said to them about his son. It's not believing in God. It's believing God. I believe what he said. That's why the Bible is such an important, your relationship, the blessing of your life hinges on what you think about this book. Because this book, if you believe this book, what you're saying is, I believe God. I've got faith in what God said. I don't believe he lied. And whenever you put a question mark of doubt or fear with this book, you know what you're going to lose? You're going to lose a blessing. Because the blessing comes when you believe God. Abraham believed God. You believe what God says? You know how I know I'm saved? I believe God.
Amen.
It's not that I believe me or I've figured it out or I've reasoned it out or I feel good about it. No. I just believe God. Amen. How simple. But you know what? People believe. They believe what they read on Twitter. They believe what they see on the news. They believe what they get out of some kind of a history book that was rewritten to write a narrative that would set to the motive of the person writing it. They believe what they hear from their friends. Or they believe their own opinion. I think that's probably the dumbest one there. You ought to be honest enough to know that you don't know diddly squat about anything. Man, see, that's not very flattering. Well, that's where we are. We got people today that believe the world's still flat. That's the truth. And they believe that. You know why? It's their opinion. You can't believe your opinion. You can't trust your opinion. I don't trust my opinion. Sometimes I disagree with myself. Yeah. Husbands disagree with wives. Kids disagree with their parents. But you know what you can't afford to do? You can't afford not to believe God. Because he's always right. And what a simple thing. Okay, God, I just believe what you said. If God told me there were Smurfs on Mars, I would believe it. I would believe it. If God wrote the book of Jonah and said Jonah swallowed the whale, I would just believe it. He said, how stupid. There's a blessing in it. He said, how impossible is that? And you see, that goes to the very root. Because look, you can't be saved if you don't believe God. And God says a lot of things that are impossible. Just like he said here to Abraham. What he said to Abraham was impossible. You're going to have a son, 100-year-old. And your wife's 90 years old. I can't even go into all the details of why that's impossible. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. You know what? God said, you're going to have a son, Abraham. He said, okay, I believe you. And when he said that, you know what God said? Righteous, 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 righteous. I'll count to you righteousness. Do you have the blessing of faith in your life that you've believed on his son, Jesus Christ? You believe what God said about his son. Now, God's message to Abraham was that he was going to have a son. And it was a miraculous thing. But the same message is to us. That just like God sent Abraham a miraculous son, God sent us a miraculous son. And it was his only son. And just as Abraham had to take his son up there and offer him as a sacrifice, God took his son and offered up a sacrifice. And just as Abraham believed God, that God would raise him from the dead, we have the privilege to believe that God also had the power to raise his son from the dead. And just like God counted righteousness to Abraham because of what he said about the promised son, God will count righteousness to you if you'll believe in what God said about his son that he gave to you. Oh, what a story. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now we've got a problem. Go to Romans chapter 3. Faith's blessing is righteousness. You know, some people, you know what they do? They read Romans chapter 3 verse 10 and they just throw their hands up. They say, you know, I can never be righteous, so I'll just forget about it. And that's true. You can never be righteous. But God can count to you righteousness. What does Romans 3:10 say? Look at it. As it is written, there is none, what's that word? Righteous, no, not one. Now, I tell you what most people do with that. We're all sinners. None of us are righteous. So we'll just all live like we want to live. It doesn't matter. It does matter. Because God doesn't stop in Romans 3. Romans 3 shows how guilty we are that we're all unrighteous. We can never be righteous. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in a mess. We're all guilty. Well, none of us can be. That's the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. He said not just in Romans 3:10, as it's written, there's none righteous, no one, not one. Look at verse 22. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. No, you can't be righteous. No, you'll never be righteous. But God has righteousness, and he will give it to you if you'll believe Jesus. Look at verse 26. End of the verse, or first of the verse, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. You see, God's not interested in your righteousness. You'll never be righteous. He's interested in his righteousness. Abraham didn't have his righteousness. He had God's righteousness because God counted it to him. He said in verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him, look at it, which believeth in Jesus. Look at chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 3, for what saith the Scripture, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You say, well, that's just about him. Not so. Look at verse 13. Romans 4:13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. The only way to get God's grace is to believe God. What a blessing of faith. It'll bring not only righteousness in your life, it'll bring faith. It'll bring the grace of God to your life. Verse 19, look at it, Romans 4:19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Now that's where we have a problem. Instead of considering God, we consider us. You know what Abraham said? I'm not even going to think about myself. I'm going to think about God. I'm not going to think about my ability. I can't perform this. I can never have a child. But he considered not his own body. What a statement. Now dead. We don't have to go into that. Made it an impossibility to have a child. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Look at 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He was fully persuaded that God could do what he said. You know why I know I'm saved? I'm saved because I believe God. And I also believe that God was able to do what he said when he said he could save my soul. I believe him. I think he's got the power to do it. The Bible says he was imputed to him for right, Luke 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone. In other words, God didn't put that in the Bible just for Abraham. God put that in the Bible for you and me. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. In other words, God will count to you that righteousness. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So if you'll believe God about his son, he'll count to you righteousness. He said in chapter 5 of Romans verse 17, he talks about the gift of righteousness. Do you want to be righteous? You want God to give you righteousness. The Bible says that God hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin that we might escape hell. That's not what he said. Now that's the way we look at it. We look at, man, I need to get saved because I just need to escape hell. That's not how God looks at it. God says this, for he hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The reason that God saved you and the reason that God sent his son was not just to take away your sin, but to make righteousness in your life if you would trust his son. Jesus Christ is made unto us righteousness. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of faith, the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. You have the blessing of righteousness? Oh, what a mixed up, filthy, wicked world. But if they would just believe God about his son, God would count righteousness to their life. What a blessing of faith. The blessing of faith that Abraham believed the Lord. Now go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. I'll show you something else about Abraham's blessing of righteousness that came by his faith. In Genesis chapter 12, he said in verse 1 of Genesis 12, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So he promised to make of Abraham a great nation. And Abraham believed God and he left his kindred. But the story doesn't stop there. By Genesis 15, would you go to Genesis 15? Genesis 15, 30 years have passed. All right, are you following me? Genesis 12, God comes to Abraham and says, leave your family, I'm going to make a great nation of you. He does that. 30 years pass. You know what happened? It's just still him and Sarah. 30 years later. Now, you know what you would be tempted to do? Well, I guess that didn't work out. I mean, the older he got. I mean, that's one thing for God to tell that to Abraham at 70. But now 30 years have passed and he's about 100 years old. What would you be thinking? Well, I guess God reneged on his deal. I guess there's not going to be any nation. I guess there's not going to be any child. You know God doesn't operate on your schedule. And you know a lot of times why he doesn't? So you'll believe him instead of trying to figure it all out. 30 years. No child. God comes to Abraham again, Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. This has always intrigued me. Look how Abram answered God. Verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Do you sense a little attitude there? I do. Verse 1 of chapter 15, God said, Abraham, don't be afraid of nothing. I am your exceeding reward. And Abraham said, yeah, but what about that child you promised me? Been 30 years, I don't see no child. You take the little attitude there? I do. This father of the faithful, this great example of our father, it wasn't that he was such a great man. He struggled with things just like we did, just like we do. Where's my child? Verse 3. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Do you see that? I thought you said, And lo, one born in my house is my heir. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Do you understand what's going on? Now listen, in Genesis chapter 12, when God came to Abraham and said, Leave you heathen. I'm going to give you a new life. I'm going to make a nation out of you. I'm going to give you a family. Leave. He said, All right. Abraham did not get righteousness in Genesis chapter 12. 30 years later, God comes to Abraham and said, I'm still going to give you a child. Well, where is he? And God puts his arm around Abraham, as it were, and takes him out under that night sky and says, Abraham, won't you look up there? Yes, Lord. What do you see up there, Abraham? Man, it's a cloudless night. I've never seen so many stars, God. And God says to Abraham, Abraham, that's how many kids you're going to have. They're going to be more than the stars that are up there in the heaven. Abraham, Abraham, I can't even count that. God, you're telling me that I'm not going to be able to number my children. I'm 100 years old and I don't have a child. The Bible says in verse 6 of Genesis 15, and he believed in the Lord. Here's our verse. And he counted it to him for righteousness. You see that? God says, Abraham, look up there. Can you count those stars? No, sir. That's how many kids you're going to have and more. You know what Abraham said? I believe it. Now, do you know what kind of faith that is? You know what we would do? We'd say, I don't know. I've been waiting 30 years. Right? You hadn't come through yet. Well, I'll just wait and see on this one, God. He didn't do that. He had waited 30 years, nothing. And God says, I'm going to give you more children than there are stars up there. And Abram said, You said it, I believe it. And when he did that, God says, I am counting to you righteousness. You are righteous, not because you're a privileged person, not because you're a good person, but I'm going to count you righteous. I am going to declare you to be righteous because you believed me even when it didn't make sense. Can we believe God and enter into that blessing? Well, sure we can. You said, Preacher, I've been through a lot in my life. It's hard for me to believe God. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. You know, some people have a hard time believing God because of what they've done. Preacher, you don't know. You don't know me. I'm telling you that the simple childlike faith of Abraham to just say, God, if you said it, I accept it right now. I've got confidence in what you say. The assurance of people's salvation is usually not found just because they have no confidence in what God has said to them. Abraham believed God, and because of that, God counted to him righteousness. Now, the story doesn't stop there. I've got to give you this little segue here, this little side note. How many of you have read in the book of James, where James, and it's called an error in the Bible. It's not an error in the Bible at all. But in James chapter 2, The Bible talks about Abraham being justified by works, right? Don't make me read. Just shake your head so I know you're with me. And he said he was justified by works when he offered up his son, only son Isaac, on the altar. Now that's Genesis 22, okay? Do you know that Abraham, now he was justified by works, but he wasn't justified before God because he got justified before God all the way back in chapter 15. Are you listening to me? God counted him righteousness in Genesis 15. He doesn't offer Isaac until 22. You say, well, what's that justification about? That's justification so that we all know that there was something real in his heart. It's justification for us. Not just something he said, but something that was real. And it showed itself because he acted on what God did. But he was not declared righteous because he acted on what God did. He was declared righteous because he believed what God said. You see the difference? There's a lot of years in there. He was already righteous. Preacher, do you believe we ought to give to God, sacrifice to God, do what God says? Absolutely. But we have righteousness counted to us. What a blessing. Just by believing what he said. That's why the devil, the very root thing the devil wants to get you to listen to him about is not to trust what this says. Don't trust God. Put a doubt in your mind about this. You know why? Because the blessing comes from just believing God. Go back to our text. He believed God was able to raise his own son from the dead. He believed God could send a miraculous son to him. What is faith's blessing? Faith's blessing is righteousness. But faith's blessing doesn't stop there. The Bible says in verse 7, Galatians 3 and verse 7, look at it. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now we have Father's Day. Now the blessing was not just on Abraham, it was extended to his children. You know how blessed Abraham's children were because he believed God? I mean, it's the most blessed family that ever lived. Come on now, help me out. Say amen or oh me or I'm bored or stand up and jump up and do jumping jacks, something. His whole family was blessed. The children of Abraham were blessed. Isaac is blessed. Jacob is blessed. If anybody ever deserved being kicked to the curb, it was old Jacob. But you know what? God didn't kick him on the curb. God blessed Jacob. Why? He blessed Jacob because it all went all the way back to his granddaddy or his daddy. Or granddaddy. Abraham, Isaac. I tell you what, when you can get your blessing passed all the way down to your grandchildren, you've done something. Isn't that right? You said, preacher, well, how does it serve to believe God? It'll bring a blessing not just in your life, it'll bring a blessing to your family. It can bring a blessing for generations to come. It was not just a blessing to Abraham in Abraham's life and Isaac's life and Jacob's life, but all of their progeny. To this day, you know why God doesn't take his finger and just smush the nation of Israel? You know why? It's not because they're holy. They're one of the most liberal, corrupt countries in the world. You talk about wickedness. Israel is filled with wickedness today. They believe nothing about Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about even their lives are wicked. Wicked. One of the most liberal, progressive, open, sinful countries in the world. Well, why don't God just smush them? Because they've been blessed for the family's sake, for Abraham's sake. Now, you can mark it down. You know why I'm blessed? God didn't look down and say, you know, boy, Brent's just a great guy. He and Joel, I tell you what, they're just the best that ever were. Let's just bless Brent and Joel. No, I'm not that stupid. You know, I'm blessed, man. I tell you, I'm blessed. I can't even tell you all the ways I'm blessed. But you know where my blessing came? My blessing started before I was ever born. I've been blessed because I had a mom and dad that put God first in their lives. And they had parents that were saved and put God first in their lives. Are you listening to me? And I'm just reaping some of the benefits of that.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you a question. Are you interested in passing the blessing on to your kids? Oh, I hope you pass something more than a bank account or a house or some land to your kids. I sure hope that God Almighty will pass a blessing down to your kids because you believed Him.
Amen.
You listening? Because you believed Him. I tell you, till you get tired of hearing it, I can hear my granddaddy praying in the bedroom, just talking to God and fellowshipping with God. And that just oozed out and oozed on my life. I can't pray like my granddaddy, but I've got the blessing of it. My kids are blessed, not because of themselves, but because of who their father and grandfather and great-grandfather were. Guys, that's just true. You know, we have founding fathers in America. I don't want to get political because I'm preaching, but I get really tired of this. Let's just tear down all the founding fathers. Yeah, and then you have no nation and no freedom if it wasn't for those men that God blessed. God blessed our founding fathers of our nation. And the reason that we have so much affluence, and the reason that we have so much freedom, and the reason that America is on the top of the world chain is because our forefathers were blessed. It ain't because we're such good people. I just think God's given us grace just based on what's happened with our forefathers. I believe that. I believe He still sees all that preaching and all that praying. I still believe He sees all those revivals and all those sacrifices and all those commitments and all those people that fasted and prayed. I think He still sees those founding fathers on their nation, on their knees as this nation started. I think He sees all of that. I think He sees our founding fathers that came to escape persecution. Those founding fathers that to escape persecution that came here just to be able to have a religion that they could live by their own conscience and somebody leave. I think God has blessed us for that, and a missionary vision. And God says, I'm just going to bless this country. It's not because of these guys. You know how many times it says over there with David, with his, I mean, he had some really bad great-great-grandchildren. I mean, they were rough. They were bad. You'd think God would just slap them down, that'd be the end of them. You know what God said over and 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 over? He said, because of their father David's sake. All those years later, He's putting up with those great-great-grandchildren because He blessed a man and that blessing went down through the line. Do you see that? I wonder what blessing is going to carry on from your life. Dad, what blessing is going to carry on from your life to your children and grandchildren? Church, what blessing to the next generation is going to carry on because we believe God? You know, the Jews said, we're children of Abraham. And you know what John the Baptist told him? This is great. John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. John the Baptist said, don't you say you're the children of Abraham. He said, God Almighty is able to raise up children to Abraham of these stones. Woo-hoo-hoo. You know what he said? It's not about your pedigree. It's not about your birthright. He said, God Almighty can give children to Abraham through stones. And you know what? In Galatians chapter 3, he did just that. We as Gentiles were all a bunch of dead stones. But when we put faith in God, and we put faith in the Son of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ who gave His life for us and was buried and rose from the dead, we have become spiritual children of Abraham, though we were just a bunch of dead stones. God's blessing to the children of Abraham could be on anybody if they believe God. And these Galatians are all mixed up. They think, well, maybe it's, You have to be special like a Jew. And the inference of the text is, no, Abraham was nothing. But he believed God. They came to Jesus in John 8. We have Abraham to our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And if you were Abraham's children, you would believe me. Because Abraham believed God. And guess who I am? If you're Abraham, like father, like son. He said, no, I tell you what, your daddy's the devil. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You know why people's lives are so mixed up sometimes? And they have no blessing, and they have destruction, and they have death, and they have ruin, and they have sin, because they got the wrong daddy. And God couldn't bless them if he tried. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of Abraham? Have you believed God? Have you believed on his son? And has the blessing of that faith come in your life? You know what the word, he says, if you're Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. Let's do a checkup here. Now, I don't know who's saved. I can't see in anybody's heart. But let's check up. If you're a child of Abraham, that means you believe God. Then you do the works of Abraham. Let's check it out. How did Abraham start out? He left something, didn't he? He left the heathenism. You ever left your sin and gone where God told you to go? You said, where did he tell me to go? Told you to go to Jesus. Told you to go to Jesus. You ever left your sin? You know what he says over there in Hebrews? He said over there in Hebrews that he sojourned. Listen now. And he looked for a city that hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. Are you looking for a city? Do you have heaven on your mind? Or is your home not here, but is up there? That's the children of Abraham. They know they're not planted down here forever. They got another home they're looking for. You see that? The Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God. He sojourned. He believed God. He set his heart to follow God. He sacrificed to God. He gave to God. He tied to the Son of God. All of that are the works of Abraham. Let's go back to our text. I got to finish. I've told you before, I get a few more minutes because we don't have Sunday school, right? Galatians 3, last point. And by the way, I read verse 9. I read verse 7. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You can have the same blessing. Have you ever heard somebody say, I just wish my life was like theirs. I wish I could be blessed like them. Well, you can. Amen. Abraham, most blessed man in the world. And all these thousands of years later, people are still being blessed. But you know, it wasn't just his children. Faith's blessing is righteousness. Faith's blessing goes to the children, but not just that. Look at verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. That's what Abraham was. That's what we are. That God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, watch it, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You see the blessing of Abraham? You see the blessing of faith? The blessing of faith extended to Abraham personally, gave him righteousness. The blessing of faith extended to Abraham's children that would also believe God. But the blessing of faith, he says, all the nations are going to get in on some kind of blessing because of Abraham. Abraham's faith impacted the whole world. All the nations. You say, how's that so? You know there's going to be a millennial reign of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And all of Abraham's family, of his progeny that came through Isaac and Jacob, are going to get some land. And there's going to be a kingdom. And all that goes back to the promise and the covenant that God made with the physical seed of Abraham. Though we are spiritual children of Abraham by faith in God, by believing God about his son, we don't believe in this replacement theology, this covenant theology that believes we can tear out from Genesis chapter 12 the promise God made to Abraham's physical children. Romans 11 says you can't do that. But you know what? I still get in on the blessing. because I'm going to be a part of a nation, part of these nations that get to enjoy that blessing of all that God promised to Abraham and to his children physically. And it will be realized in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came through that line, and all nations will be blessed. They're not blessed right now, but they will be. One of these days, the nations that remain, the nations that don't get thrown into hell, all those nations that are left will be blessed because God chose to justify a heathen man because he had faith in him. Look at verse 8 again. He preached before the gospel unto Abraham. You know, Jesus said in John 8:56 that Abraham saw my day. That just drove the Jews nuts. What do you mean? You're not even 40 years old. What do you mean Abraham saw your day? And Jesus said, for Abraham was, I am. And that's when they took up stones to stone him. You know, Abraham saw Jesus' day. You know where he saw it? He saw it in Genesis chapter 12 when he took his only begotten son up that mountain, that Calvary mountain, amen, that Mount of Moriah, amen, up there on that mountain, the same place our Lord would be crucified. He took him up there to offer him up as a sacrifice. And God sent a substitute. And the Bible says after that event, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I'm telling you, Abraham saw something on that mount. He saw the good news that God will provide himself a lamb. He saw the great news that God's got a substitute. And he didn't know maybe all about the New Testament inferences of that, but he had enough understanding that God Almighty showed him something on that mountain. He saw the day of the Lord Jesus Christ in a figure. That's what the Bible said in Hebrews 11. That God would raise him up, and God showed that to Abraham in a figure. He saw that figure. And he had that gospel, that good news preached to him. You know what that is? That's the theme of the book of Galatians. The theme of the whole book of Galatians is the gospel of grace through faith. That's what Abraham got. He got that gospel of grace through faith. God had grace on Abraham through faith. And that's the good news that we preach. You can have the grace of God through faith, but you got to believe God. You know what the Bible says here? There's something else here. In verse number 8, and the scripture, what's that next word? Now that's weird. What is the scripture? Is this the scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? This is the scripture. That verse said that the scripture foreseeing. There's two things weird about that. How can a book see things? You know why I can see things? Because it ain't just a book. I don't think we really understand what this Bible is sometimes. This book, this Bible is not just a book, it's spirit. This book, this Bible is not just a book with pen and ink or paper or a scroll. This book is forever settled in heaven before Abraham was even born. You say, how do you know that? Look at it again. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. You know what's true about Genesis chapter 15 and Genesis chapter 22 and Genesis chapter 12 and all those verses? Genesis 18, it also says this. Let me say that again. In Genesis 12 and Genesis 15 and Genesis 18 and Genesis 22, there was no book there. You know why? Moses wrote that. 430 years later. That's what Galatians 3 said. That's what Paul's trying to say. Why are you getting wrapped up in the law? Everything that God did for Abraham was 430 years before there was even a book about it. Now, this is crazy. This is great. God said when God talked to Abraham and Abraham believed God, the scripture foresaw all that. Where was the scripture? It's not just in a book. It's not just in Moses' pen. It's not just on a scroll. It's not just on a tablet. The word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven. The scripture is always there. You say, I don't understand that. I don't either, but I believe it.
Amen.
Not just a book, it wasn't there. It's not just a book because how did it see things? It didn't say God saw it. People change the Bible because they think, well, that don't make sense. Books don't see things. This book sees things.
Amen.
You know how I know? This book is looking at you right now.
Right.
You see, it's not just a book in your lap. This is a book that's looking at you. How you know that, preacher? Hebrews chapter 4. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Listen. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, the Scripture can not only foresee things in the future and foresee your life, the Scripture discerns your heart. The Scripture looks into your heart and mind to see where you are. That's why a lot of times people open this Bible, you know what they get? They get nothing. They get the same thing Herod got when he brought Jesus before him. He got nothing. You know why? Because Jesus was looking right in his heart. You know what Pilate got? He got one or two shots and then he got nothing. You know why? Because Jesus could look right in his heart. You know why Pharaoh got nothing? Because God could look right in his heart. And you know what? This Bible is a supernatural book. If you'll just believe God, it'll bring the blessing of God on your life. It's going to be the blessing of the nations. It's going to be the blessing on your family. But I'm telling you right now, this book sees you. It looks down into your brain today. It looks down into your heart. It not only foresaw that God would justify the heathen, that's you and me, just like God justified Abraham, but it discerns where I'm at today and where you're at today. You can't hide from God. You can't play a game with God. The Bible sees and knows everything about you. That's why you just need to lay open your heart honest before God and say, God, here I am, and I'm going to believe whatever you say about me, and I'm going to believe whatever you say about the world, and I'm going to believe whatever you say about eternity. I believe God. I trust your Son. And you know whether or not I believe you or not. The blessing of faith.